Into the Wild Alone by Pearl F. Foxley. Narrator, Helen Marsh. Prologue. You're too young to be this stubborn. I didn't look up from the letter. The paper had water stains in the corners, the ink bleeding into soft blue ghosts where raindrops had hit it a month ago, 2 months ago. I couldn't tell. The creases were worn thin, some of them splitting along the folds like old scars reopening. Thea, Marin Oleason's hand landed on the table, the two missing fingers making her grip look like a claw. I said you're too young. I heard you. I folded the letter along its weakest crease and tucked it into my coat pocket. The brass compass weighed against my ribs, warm from my skin. But you're not my mother. No. She sat down across from me, the bench groaning under her weight. Her silver braid caught the lamplight, gleaming like fish scales. I'm the woman who's been feeding you for 6 months while you waited for a dead man to come home. The cabin smelled like cedar smoke and the dried salmon hanging from the rafters. A pot of coffee sat between us, black and bitter, the way she made it. I poured myself a cup, just to have something to do with my hands. He's not dead, I said. Thea, he's not. I took a sip. The coffee burned my tongue, and I didn't care. You didn't see the letter. I saw you crying over it. I set the cup down harder than I meant to. Coffee sloshed over the rim, pooling on the scarred wood. He wrote it 3 days before the ice broke. He said he found something. He said gold. Mern's voice flattened. Every man in this territory has a story about gold. They die with the stories still in their mouths. He sent a map. Maps don't make a man alive. I pushed back from the table, the bench scraping against the floorboards. My coat hung by the door, patched at both elbows, the wool worn thin. I grabbed it and pulled it on. Where are you going? Morant asked. To get Peter from the mercantile before it gets dark. She didn't stop me. She never did. But as I reached for the door handle, she said, the ice doesn't give back what it takes. I stopped. My hand stayed on the latch. I know, I said. And I walked out into the October cold. Minus. The boardwalk creaked under my boots. Juno and autumn smelled like low tide and wood smoke. The mountains pressing in from all sides, gray rock and white caps that would be snow by November. The streets were mud, churned up by wagons and sled dogs and the boots of men who'd come north to get rich and stayed to get poor. I kept my hand in my pocket, fingers wrapped around the compass. If the ice ever calls my name, follow it north. My father had said that the morning he left, pressing the compass into my palm like it was the only thing he had left to give. I was 12. Peter was 8 and already coughing. You'll find me there. I'd held that compass every day for a year. The mercantile sat at the corner of Franklin and 2nd, its windows fogged with the breath of the men inside. I pushed through the door, the bell jangling overhead. Peter was at the counter, sketching something on a scrap of paper while Mrs. Dodders, Benson wrapped a quarter pound of salt pork. He looked up when I came in and I saw the same thing I always saw, the hollows under his cheekbones. The pale skin that never seemed to pink up no matter how long he spent outside. Took you long enough, he said. But he was smiling. Marin was feeding me coffee and opinions. I took the parcel from Mrs. Benson and handed her a few coins. You ready? Peter slid off the stool and tucked his sketchbook under his arm. He was wearing my old coat, the sleeves too long and rolled up twice, the hem hanging past his knees. It was the warmest thing he owned. We stepped outside, and the wind hit us hard, straight off the channel, sharp with salt and the promise of snow. You told her, Peter said. Didn't have to. She's got eyes. What'd she say? We started walking. The mud sucked at my boots. A man on a horse passed us. The animal's breath steaming, its hooves making wet sounds in the muck. The usual, I said. I'm too young. He's probably dead. Don't go. She's not wrong. I stopped. Peter kept walking for 2 steps, then stopped 2. He turned around. Peter, I'm just saying. He shrugged, the coat riding up around his ears. It's been a year, Thea. The ice broke in March. If he fell in, he didn't fall in. You don't know that. I know he sent the letter. I pulled it out, the paper crinkling in my cold fingers. I know he circled a spot on the map. I know he wrote, wait for me at the bottom, and then he crossed it out and wrote, come find me. Peter looked at the letter. Then he looked at me. His eyes were too old for his face, that thin, pale face that I'd spent the last year trying to keep fed and warm and alive. The sanatorium cold again, he said. The words hit me like cold water. When? Yesterday, while you were out splitting wood. Mrs. Benson took the message. He pulled the sketchbook out of his armpit and flipped it open, showing me a drawing he'd been working on. A mountain. A river. A cabin with smoke coming out of the chimney. They said they have